Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius, descended from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh. He'll make you cry. But most importantly, he's gonna save
you. Let him speak for himself.
He's got a lot to say.
These are mannequins.
Yeah,
it is different, but similar.
Oh, wow. How they do?
Owl beer?
What?
Is it an owl beer?
Owl beer.
That's cool.
Who?
Made from owl.
Who's on first? The owl is on first.
Hoot.
Yeah,
first.
But don't throw your garbage on the ground.
Hey, everybody.
Oh,
Tins!
Got us.
You did it, man.
What a jerk.
No, you did what you had to do.
Welcome, everybody, to the Octavarius Podcast.
Welcome.
This is episode 122 of the podcast.
Oh, shit.
Feeling Jew.
Wow, I know.
Jew.
Feeling Jew. Everybody.
That's a way to start the show. I guess, first of all, let me, on behalf of everyone in Octavarius, let me thank everybody who has made it out to the first two shows of our open run at Comedy Sports.
Thanks.
Thank you, RJ, Mike Norris, and others who came to the
Pokemon
show. Glossio.
Ricky.
Pokemon show. Admittedly, a little bit light. It was also Father's Day. So, I hope you all enjoyed your fucking Father's Day, Dad.
I didn't fuck up the Pokemon.
We all went to
once,
dinner.
didn't fuck it up once.
Surely we'll post the Pokemon rap portion of the show at some point.
I hope it looks cool.
It was Castelvi. You were delighted that you got it all. I mean,
you knew you were going to get it.
And
I didn't because I had been trained. I've been trying to do it for 3 months. So, but I only have one shot. It was that show?
Yeah,
you only get one shot. Do not miss a chance.
I hadn't practiced it live before,
it live?
And sometimes I would screw up the section, and then it would be like over. And like I did it like the day before the show, and I was like, "Fuck, this is it."
I was a little bit worried for you too, because I had to, you know, I had to interject and make my live presence at least there a little bit. But I'm like, I don't want to interject too much because I don't want to throw Castelvi off this thing that he's been practicing.
Oh my god, I was so nervous, but it went well. So thank you everyone for watching.
Hooray! Well, without any further ado, let's go to the far end of the room and sound off.
Hey, it's Nick.
Hey, it's LP.
Hey, it's Scott.
Brian.
Hey, it's Cloud.
Achem! It's Castelvi.
It's Tins.
Beep, beep. Keith.
Beep,
good
beep,
old
beep.
Chris Bogue.
Mark.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's weird. You guys remember last podcast when we pretended to be a podcast entirely devoted to beans?
I do not.
What?
Yeah.
You guys.
The bean cast.
We were talking beans with Octavarius. I forgot the bean bag and everything. Oh, shit!
Yeah. Speaking of.
I forgot the mailbag.
Oh,
how
no.
Could
you?
Are you an id?
I was even thinking about the beanbag earlier.
Such an id.
And I meant to bring it. It was on my mind all day. And
oh, you know what, though? I didn't bring the mailbag, but I brought the beanbag, and it has a bunch of old letters.
Oh, great. I don't know. They're probably all covered in beans.
Yeah. Yeah, let me
Are
just open one up.
Ones?
Yeah. Yeah, there's this one right here.
Okay.
Whoa.
This is terror to my ears.
Oh, no,
I hate that sound.
Oh.
That was in your face, Chris.
Oh, man.
Ridiculous.
What's the letter say, Mark?
Yeah. It's all over his hands.
He has to read it.
What is that?
Potion or something.
That's hope, man.
Vessel. Or something.
Oh, yeah. It's just liquid letter.
It's just the sound of gross fapping.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Dear Octavarius. Oh, I'm sorry. This letter comes to us from one Gary Gygax.
Wow.
Nice.
The inventor of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, he's
I mean,
dead.
I don't know, maybe. Could be a different guy with the same name.
Could be like an insurance salesman.
It says, Dear Octavarius, I invented Dungeons and Dragons. So I guess that answers that question.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm dead now. So I was just wondering how that's going. Is it, like, still a thing? Do other things reference it? Also, Sometimes I like to go into my wife's closet and put on her clothes and then go out and do musical numbers. What sort of alignment do you think that would make me in Dungeons & Dragons terms? Mm-hmm. Also, I am loving these sparkles. What's up with that?
Chaotic good?
Hey.
Chaotic good.
I have a question. Now, I didn't grow up playing D&D, but okay. I've played a lot of games that were influenced by D&D. Or at least I think they were.
Hopscotch, baseball.
So, do any of you guys, Mark and Castelvi, I know, played it extensively.
I played several times, less than a half dozen, though.
I wouldn't say, I don't know if I played it correctly, is my thing. I think I'm pretty, but I did my best.
I dated people who played it.
Did any of you guys know when it was
invented?
Don't
say it like that. Yeah, it was, I think it was 75? So, like 70, maybe like mid 70s.
So
I'm sure Wikipedia, now, someone, a computer person.
Now I might be going out on a limb here, but I think that Dungeons and Dragons was then, if it was invented in the 70s, then it was definitely influenced by baseball games.
As in rotisserie baseball? That's what
I thought. It was the other way around.
Rotisserie
baseball was influenced by.
No,
D&D.
It's not rotisserie baseball. You guys are thinking of something else. Let me get there. Baseball games for kids to play at home were dice games.
Yeah, I had
and
a board
you would
game
play
version
with,
of that.
Yeah, and it would be a board game, and you would roll dice in the probability that your player would get a hit based upon his statistics. So I'm wondering if Dungeons and Dragons actually came out of sports board games. Maybe somebody could Google and find
out. Yeah,
well, Dungeons and Dragons was released in 1974, so it's pretty old.
It was derived from miniature war games with a very...
Miniature war, so maybe baseball came from the war games. Maybe,
closer to, say, like Warhammer, whatever the roots of Warhammer are. People know that.
Because the idea of using the roll of a dice to determine... the probability of your character succeeding or failing at a task is something that has now not only gone from just those original war games to baseball to Dungeons and Dragons to now it's basically the basis for most of our video games. I feel like I remember my Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic was basically Dungeons and Dragons.
What a great game.
But is. Star Wars.
I mean,
gambling is just, you know, chance and
dice.
Putting a lot of your hopes into a chance of a roll of a die, essentially.
It's role playing.
But then you have your character sheet with the things that your character is good at, your skills.
So basically, you take the chance and probability from gambling, but you strip out anything that's like sexy or dangerous from it.
No, you add a whole different layer of sexy and.
No, I mean like in terms of like in casinos, like. You know, if you win on that probability, you get a bunch of money and you party.
Well, you can gamble in the game of Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. You can do
it's just not as exciting.
It's a little less dangerous than gambling.
You can bang a lot of chicks in Dungeons & Dragons.
There's a story around it, and there's pretend, and there's just so many things that are way better.
It's like I could be in a game with Mark and be like, Mark, I bet you, like, I don't know, 20 Doritos, I can bang that goblin inside that tavern.
Real quick side question, but how much do you think the Doritos Locos Taco has helped gaming, you know? Like, it is combining the love of gamers into
Taco
one
Bell
thing.
And they,
of course, are Pepsi products. They have Mountain Dew there. Like, Taco Bell has taken stronghold on geek gaming,
you know,
I'm sure.
I would say, though, from memory, we barely ever had fast food. Because no one ever leaves. Because it takes, like... And that was the biggest thing for me, gaming as a kid, was that we wouldn't necessarily... We would have, like, longer running campaigns, but nothing would ever stick. Because we were kids, and we just weren't mature enough, really, to, like, do the same thing long enough to have any real results. But the big thing was, like, you it was just an excuse or, like, a forum to hang out with, say, like, six friends. And none of us had a lot of other friends. So this was, like... Like, that's the one thing I've always said about D&D versus video games. Like, at least you need three other friends to play it.
As someone who has never played D&D, I'm very familiar with role-playing games. I love them, a lot of video games.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never played D&D. What is the point? Is it to finish quests, to kill the other players, to hit a certain level?
It's to finish a quest.
Yeah.
So there's a dungeon master who... has ideally created a dungeon or a scenario or a quest.
They cannot be characters, they can only be dungeon masters?
Yes, the one person is a designated dungeon master, and they're sort of the god of this scenario. They narrate everything to you. If people have questions, like if their characters ask questions, or the players ask questions, they're asking it to this sort of deity, and they'll give them the answers in this corresponding.
And the players don't get to see the board or anything.
There's no board, or sometimes there's a map.
Sometimes you can start with like a piece of graph paper, and you'll actually graph out a dungeon as you're exploring it, which I think is very interesting.
And sometimes you will have like little figurines. It's not very common, but some people do.
Well, actually, and this is the weird thing. So they're on like the fourth edition of. Or 4.5 or something. Like they're on like at least the fourth edition of Dungeons & Dragons now. And what they've found out is they've actually developed sort of like two completely different audiences for the game. So there's a bunch of people who like playing it for basically all the same reasons that you would like improvising. Because it's more or less collaborative storytelling. Mm-hmm. And then you get rewards at the end where you're like, oh, I gained a level. But, you know, like the fun of it isn't gaining a level. The fun of it is like coming up with really creative, interesting ways to what basically solve problems. Mm-hmm. But then over the course, they tried to make it much more mainstream because obviously like lots of people in the world would rather just do something else than sit in a room for 6 hours and tell a story with their friends.
The thing also you have to know is that these quests can sometimes take months.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I have a friend who works at the Euphorium, he did a campaign that lasted 17 years.
Well, usually what you do is you break it up into chunks. If you're good at dungeon mastering, you break it up into chunks that can be like adventures. And an adventure can be completed in like one or two sessions, hopefully one.
That okay, so like as someone who's never played Dungeons and Dragons, what the hell could a quest entail that it would take human beings 17 years to
do? So like for this one, the story was. Basically, you have to kill this dragon, okay? You have to kill the dragon. But the dragon has this impenetrable armor and has a sword that, you know, you can't destroy. And also, the world's going to end if you kill it. So now you have all these side quests. You have to find a weapon that can break through its armor. You have to find another spell that could maybe break a sword. Then you can have. And then you have to go on a quest to find the god of like a neutral or like a chaotic good, and then to be like, hey, don't destroy the world if I kill this dragon.
It's not unlike the idea of, say, your quest is to take this ring and throw it in the pits of Mount Doom.
It's going to take you
forever to do so. It's technically one quest, but you're going to have to accomplish dozens and dozens of things to gain the experience as well as to complete the action.
But at the same time...
Oh, Makula has a question.
Sorry, go ahead.
Now, let's say all members of this game die. Yeah. Is there like a buy-in you can do to get back into the game?
What usually happens is you'll let them like make a new character that's close enough in, you know, kind of like start partway in so that they're not starting back at the very beginning. Or, I shouldn't say very beginning, but like... level one characters don't have a lot of abilities. So if, say, you've been playing for a while and everyone else is like level 8... and they have, like, giant attacks, and they can kill but you come back as level 1, you won't have very much fun, because you'll just die instantly every time you get into a fight.
No fun.
So you'll, like, let someone make, say, like, a level 6 character, and then they kind of catch up. And then also, there are spells that can resurrect you, so if you're really smart, what you'll do is just... and you trust your friends. That's another thing that can become a point of contention. But what you'd basically do is, like, buy a gemstone that's the value of... like paying someone to cast that spell on you and just carry it on your person and then trust your friends to not steal that and you know, next time they come across someone that can resurrect you, they'll trade that gem for the value of that spell.
So Mark, walk me through a typical turn. It's my turn.
It depends. Two things. So you can either be in combat or out, and they're very different.
Oh, I'm in combat.
Oh, you're in combat.
Sometimes.
So, this is the hook, because this is where they ran into the two audiences problem. In more recent versions of the game, it's basically like a miniatures board game. So all the rules govern things like how far you can move, You know, like it's like, you know, you can move 5 feet and, you know, there's like a whole battle board on a grid and you have miniatures with different moves. But in my favorite incarnations of the game, it's you just say what you want to do. So the way a typical turn would work is everyone would roll for initiative at the top of the battle, which is basically the order of who goes first. Mm-hmm. So say, you know, there's four people and you're like the third person. Before anyone actually rolls to see how it turns out, everyone says what they're going to do that round. Because the idea is that a round of combat takes about 6 seconds. So your actions are broken up into about what you can accomplish in 6 seconds, which usually involves like attacking and moving or running away or casting a spell or something like that. So everyone says what they want to do. And then you go, you see the results of those things going down the line. But because combat's happening in as close to real time as they can make it, if something goes awry before you, you can't change what you're doing because you've already started doing it, more or less.
Yeah.
So you would pick, say, your options would either be to move, and depending on, you know, like, your character's size and how much weight they're carrying, you could move, you know, anywhere from, like, 15 to 30 feet. Or if you want to commit your entire action to moving, you can move further. And then you can also attack.
So it sounds a little bit like Civilization, if you played that game.
In that it is turn-based, sure.
But like, yeah. And you can choose to devote a whole turn to moving or attacking and so forth.
In that sense, but a battle takes place on, like Civilization, you're looking at a world map. Mm-hmm. In D&D, the thing that makes it fun is the scope of the game kind of changes. So like when you're in combat, you're literally looking at a space that would be like the size of this room, and the rules will govern you moving like 5 feet at a time. You know? But what?
Yeah. Are the characters in it the same as like would be in Middle Earth or like?
No, they're anything you dream them to be.
Oh,
and that's where okay.
Anything you dream them to be.
Not Inception, Nick.
No, not Inception. No. But is there anything that's just not up to, let's say, a Dungeon Master's standards? If they were to create a character.
Okay, well, there are races you can be, as well as classes of people that you can.
So you can't be a walking fetus.
You cannot be. You have to be a sentient creature.
Well, that's where that Scott. I know you're reacting upset, and I understand. I understand why you would react negatively to a walking fetus, as all of our listeners probably should have as well. What Nick is trying to get to is the fact that he created a character called Fetus the Fat. Apparently,
just
that
name.
Was
just his name.
Just his name.
He was not actually a fetus. To
oh,
my
I was
knowledge.
Confused though.
Okay, but he and then he was, I guess, in Mark's
Big
campaign.
Fat
and
it was yeah. One
was
time, Nick.
Out.
Well, Nick was going to play, and the thing about it is because it's because you know everyone's kind of working together, but because you're rolling dice and you're doing so, like it takes a long time sometimes to get through different parts of the game.
Take, but anywhere from half an hour to an hour,
to a day.
Yeah, sure.
Day,
depending, if it's a real complex thing. Exactly. I mean, I like to keep them short because it gets boring.
Right.
But the thing that's interesting about it is it's like a real delicate balance, but it is a lot like improv in that when everyone's working together, you find stuff you didn't know. So like really good groups of people will just build on each other the same way a good improv scene would build.
Like, what if it's the it seems to me Dungeons and Dragons was especially attractive for people because if you're not a guy who can do sports or something, it's like, oh, can you sit around and like make up a bunch of rules and then like play pretend?
Yeah,
and,
it's very cheap.
But if you got a dungeon master who was a dick.
Yeah.
That person could go on a power trip or bully the other people.
Absolutely.
And this is
a
common problem, right?
Of course, people are dicks in all scenarios. That doesn't mean the entire product is always.
Does it ruin the game, though, if the Dungeon Master is a huge dick?
It can, sure.
I've
been Dungeon Master before, and I had to be a dick so that they would go on the quest that I'm trying to do. Because what's great in the Double-Edged Sword, I guess, about the game is. You can do anything you want. It's like, if you're familiar with Skyrim, I think it's the same way. You can just do whatever.
Yeah, like
there's endless
quests. There's a main quest you should do eventually.
Exactly,
but along
but
the way,
you
can
do
any number of things.
So you don't have to go into the castle and do this thing. You can do something else. Mm-hmm. But then, the Dungeon Master has taken a long time to create this quest for you. And then if they don't do that, then there's a point of frustration, I imagine.
And
at least that was for me.
And it's also harder because you don't... As a dungeon master, you know, it takes a lot of time to kind of prepare interesting things for the people to come across.
Mm-hmm.
And you try to leave it open, because really what it is you have to get them to want to do the thing you want them to do
right.
without like railroading them into it, which is tough.
You do that by because when you defeat you know monsters mm-hmm. or people, you gain experience points and often gold or magical items,
some sort of loot, which
is you know exciting for yeah. your character because your character grows and gets better and with more experience. Does more damage. They get more abilities that they can do, which makes the game a lot more fun because you have more options to do things.
And what's interesting is like the people that I would play D&D with in high school were much more narrow minded. So you know characters will have different what they call classes, and it's kind of like your role or like what your skills are. And it's very similar to a lot of fantasy games that are out now. You'll have like a fighter or a warrior type character. You'll have various magic using classes like wizards and stuff.
Have like a thief or some sort of sneaky character.
Yeah. The original ones are cleric, fighter, paladin, ranger, rogue, warlock, warlord, and wizard. Yeah. That's the first player's handbook, and has since added the characters of Avenger, Barbarian, Bard, Druid.
There's hundreds of
Druid,
them
Invoker, Shaman, Sorcerer, Warden.
A shaman.
I don't know what an ardent or battle mind is. Or
some of these
the
are
battle mind.
I'm the battle mind.
It's interesting that you said.
Hear me.
Do you think, Mark, mm-hmm. you could say what each of us might be, just as a guess?
What do you think? The thing is, most of those classes hinge on magical abilities.
Well, why don't you fake it?
Yeah, why don't you just try? Mark?
we're honestly in D&D terms, we're all rogues.
Oh, yeah?
Rogues or bards?
Bards. So the way it's broken down is, and that's the tough thing, is I got, like, a playtesting rule set for the upcoming version of D&D, and the thing that I love about it is there's basically, like, no rules. Or not no rules, but they've probably cut about 70% of the rules for the game. And I hope that they keep it that way. Because what happened was, the idea was that it was a free-form world. Like Castelvi was saying, you can do anything you want, like in Skyrim. But the hook with Skyrim is because it's programmed by computers, you can only do a defined set of things within the bounds of that computer program.
Sure, sure.
Like, in a D&D world, you can do any. Like, if I was in a bar, I could be like, I want to pour my alcohol out on the bar and light it on fire and try to burn this bar down.
And then get wasted and break up with my girlfriend.
Like you can do anything, and it doesn't have to be pre-programmed.
Right.
But the issue was that as they tried to make the game more accessible, they tried to be more like video games, and they tried to define stuff. And
just just a more rigid rule set.
And so what they did was they created skills, which weren't existing necessarily prior. And skills are actually one of the things that are super, that were latched onto. A lot of the video games, like Knights of the Old Republic, was based off of the D&D incarnation where they brought skills in.
Yeah.
And so what rogues were, is rogues were the class of characters that got the most skill points. But the unfortunate thing about it is what they found is, say you got 8 skill points, the idea was that you'd spread those out throughout the, you know, maybe 30 skills they defined, and then they left it open for you to make your own, which no one ever did. But what ended up happening was if you get 8 skill points every level, people would just pick 8 skills and be insanely good at those things and be completely incompetent at everything else.
Uh-huh.
And so what they found is that ended up just limiting the number of things people would be able to do, because at some point you're like, why would I bother trying a creative thing?
If you can just bash your way through the skills you've got.
I have a plus 80 to my jump skill. I'll just jump over it.
I'm at wizards.com, and I was just figuring out what class I would be by answering several questions, and I found out that I am a sorcerer.
Nice.
I am arcane, and the arcane is in me.
Actually, Mark, going off what you were saying about the skills, like even with that's another big restriction of video games in the same vein. Like, that's why, I mean, granted, I've put a shitload of hours into Skyrim, but it is kind of irritating that I wanted to try and be kind of a destruction mage or a spell sword or something, but after a while it became...
Wait, what?
Okay, so in...
No!
I got this, man.
So, so, So in Skyrim, you have two hands. You have a left hand and a right hand, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Each of which can do a different thing.
Yeah.
So I could have a
one
sword.
One can do good things, one can't at all.
Well, you could have the right hand holds a sword and the left hand holds a shield, so you're a fairly balanced warrior. But instead of the shield in your left hand, maybe you wield fire magic. Or maybe this has a spell in it. This left hand has a spell in it that reanimates the dead when you cast it, or something like that. Or you can have both your hands casting spells, or both of them could be doing healing spells. So you can choose to fight and engage with the world in a lot of different ways. But I wanted to be a destruction mage initially, but throughout the game it just became easier to bash things with swords and sticks and shit. And because of that rigid kind of skill system, I ended up just being way too good at hitting things with my hands and my weapons, and all the other skills kind of go out the window because of that.
What race is your character?
He was a Nord. He was a Nord named...
Yeah, what's a Nord? So he went to school and stuff.
Yeah. A Nord was like... They're like Nordic people here. Oh, they were the actual natives of Skyrim. They're the ones who were born there. Those are the ones who belong there. My Nord's name was Walter Whitecap.
Wait, when did you do this?
And the Nords all talk the same.
I got the game on Christmas, and I just stopped playing it last week.
Oh, okay.
Did you finish?
I finished nearly everything. I didn't get all the achievements, but there are some, like, it won't let me get married in Skyrim, and I think it might be bugged.
Oh.
And I need to get married to get that last achievement.
So I'm, like, complete non-gamer. Yes. I get glimpses into this crazy world.
Okay.
And,
I don't know if it's called crazy.
I don't know, man. Like, I've dated people who have played, like, Magic and Dungeon, like, all of it. So, like, I guess one thing is, what's the relationship between, like, Dungeons and Dragons, Magic, and World of Warcraft, which is such a huge thing? Like, are they the same kind of
characters? They're very similar.
World of Warcraft, you could say World of Warcraft got its roots from those games.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. But they're different games.
They're very different games, but they have the same basic type of principles, though they're handled separately.
I guess, like, I haven't played them, but I personally, just from observing and getting, like, snippets, I don't
think
see
it's
the
stupid.
I don't see
there's
the
a human quality.
Appeal.
There's a very human quality about it, though. You get these types of creatures that people have loved for centuries.
Yeah.
Knights and wizards.
Yeah,
you know,
story
people
characters.
Have loved this forever.
It's a very, very romantic idea
and
in
you're,
the human
and you're
mind.
You're actually connecting with other people. Like, when you're doing this, you know, I mean, I've never played Dungeons & Dragons myself. I know it's a very bonding experience. And World of Warcraft, people get sucked into this. You're working with other people in this world that you all share.
But you're also very separate. It's not like you're portraying this person in a play and you get to, like, actually be them.
You
like,
but
you're
it is.
Right?
If you're into
exactly
it,
you're
if you're into it enough and you're passionate enough about what you're doing, that is actually exactly it.
It's an interactive
like
media.
Them?
You
why
become
them.
Have you
talking like a goblin?
Cloud, have
do.
You have you seen that the World of Warcraft episode of South Park? It's very much like that.
Yeah, like, one thing that I did in college from time to time was sit in and just kind of drink while I watched Mark and his friends play D&D. Mm-hmm. And I would just watch along, and they would all play characters, so it was like a small show. Mm-hmm. Like, my favorite D&D player was Mark's old roommate, Justin, because Justin would always make interesting characters and would commit to these amazing characters. I remember watching Justin play, and he was this drunken, small dwarf.
Yeah.
Was he a dwarf?
Yep.
He was a drunken little dwarf.
I remember that, dude.
And all he would do would just, like, try and fight and then drink until he'd pass out.
But
so he'd just be passed out drunk. And just eat, and then
while his
Justin,
teammates are trying to get shit accomplished.
Damn, completely sober in real life.
Yes, yes. And Justin would just perform it and just yell like blah 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 blah.
And
blah,
Lisa,
does everyone do that, or is that like?
You don't necessarily
well, the thing
act
is,
it
Lisa,
out.
It was awesome.
It only like Dungeons and Dragons as a game only works if everyone completely buys into it. If you all have to put your brain in the same place and accept all these rules. And we play pretend in our apartment every
friends. You know. Take a group, like, these people found friends on the internet. They found friends without having their physical appearance, because maybe they all don't have the greatest physical appearance, but they have wonderful minds and beautiful things that they do and say. Mm-hmm. So they found this way to connect on a different plane of existence, communicate, work together to conquer things, have an actual conversational relationship, and even World of Warcraft, a lot of people get to know who they are and know them.
So it's like
they become actual friends through the game.
It's a socially acceptable way of people for people to express themselves without having to do a play or improv or whatever.
Yeah, and it's it's male dominated, of course, as well.
But there's a lot of females that.
That's not true.
There are a lot of ladies.
I'd say we dominate it.
Oh yeah, okay. True. Right. We dominate, right?
But there's
we dominate.
Because I don't know any ladies personally. I've heard of like a couple, but that like
I've heard of them.
Dude, lady WoW players are everywhere. Yeah, there are a lot of lady WoW players, and they are not ashamed to say it. A lot of lady WoW players are out and proud.
Or actresses, like famous actresses, will be like, I can't think of any offhand, but they'll do stuff on there.
Mila Kunis played World of Warcraft.
Mila Kunis was really into it. I know Adrienne Curry, that model that was married to Peter Brady, she was super into WoW.
I feel like with most things technology, because like Dungeons and Dragons, I mean, it still kind of is the butt of everybody's joke.
Yeah.
Because like back when you watch like an 80s movie or 90s movie, they'd be like, that kid's on a computer, what a nerd! And it was like such a nerd thing to do because it was so niche. Yeah. But as technology's grown and everyone has video games and everyone has computers, now it's like cool to be nerdy.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I like all the bros I work with fucking love Game of Thrones, man. Or like, I mean, it's just these things seem like they've become a lot more mainstream since, you know, they first came out in like the 80s, where like you couldn't just be sitting, you couldn't be a social reject connect with people
online.
There's
more people and there's more social rejects, and the social rejects are now being like,
and it's less effort to connect.
They're like, oh, I'm not alone. I can go on the internet, I can find that other people are sharing these opinions.
WoW has ended marriages.
Oh yeah, for sure.
There are marriages that have ended because people have met other people through WoW.
And Brian, you know what that starts? A new marriage. So new marriages have started on WoW. You're looking
which
at
which is I know. Well, right? I know, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying this is how. Like how deep WoW and that type of game.
The funny thing, so like for D&D is some people get it's much smaller. Like D&D, although it is in popular, like lots of people have heard of it. The actual player base of Dungeons and Dragons is not very big, especially relative to something like World of Warcraft. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because as D&D has evolved, it just desperately wishes it was World of Warcraft, and. Well, used to. And that's one of the things I liked about the new release they came out with, was it just went back to what it used to be, which is kind of hard to play. And it just required you to do a lot of imagining and work on your own. But they're incredibly jealous of World of Warcraft because it's the same kind of appeal world-wise. Mm-hmm. But World of Warcraft just makes buckets of money. Amounts of money.
Let me ask Paul the group. How many people do you guys think play Dungeons & Dragons? And the planet Earth.
Worldwide, do you have the stat?
I have it. No, actually, I have the U.S. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And this is monthly. Monthly.
Dungeons
monthly,
and Dragons.
Monthly.
Dungeons and Dragons or World of Warcraft?
Dungeons and Dragons.
100,000 a month.
100,000 a month. All right.
Well, I'm going to say like 30,000.
50,000.
I'm going to say
76,000.
2
million. I'll say 1 million.
I'll say
2 million and 1.
Say 989,000.
250,000.
It looks like Mark is the closest. You'd be surprised. As many as 4 million people play in the U.S. each month.
Wow. But compared to... Look up how many people play World of Warcraft every month.
Play World of Warcraft? I bet it's considerably.
It's something... It was like 12 million a while ago.
At its peak, it was at 0.5% of the world's population played World of Warcraft.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And now think about this. You pay, what, like $30 to $50 to buy it. Mm-hmm. Then occasional upgrades, and it costs you $10 a month.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So imagine 0.5% of the world's population paying you $10 a month. They could. Blizzard, I think, is the company that makes it. Couldn't physically build server farms fast enough to handle the traffic from World of Warcraft.
According from 2000, I think I only have worldwide for World of Warcraft. 2010 is the earliest one I could find, and it's 12 million.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's still like three times the playership. And the thing about D&D is like, you know, once you buy the books, you don't pay them anything. Your biggest expenses are like Mountain Dew and pretzels and stuff.
Yeah.
Or beer when you're older. The funny thing for me with D&D is that, like, when I started playing it, the whole point was, like, make real powerful characters and talk about them. But as I got older, what made it more fun was playing characters like the one that Brian described of Justin playing that were just incredibly flawed and had a very difficult time succeeding.
Because then they're actual characters. You know? All characters are... good characters have to be three-dimensional like that.
And it was just way more fun to stumble into, like, a surprise way of winning something than be like, I pull out my sword and do my biggest attack.
One more question, guys.
Okay.
I've got it right here on the screen. How many drag queens are there in the U.S.?
That's right. That was a part of the question.
Ooh.
How many drag queens? In the U.S.?
I'd say about 4 million a month.
Okay. 4 million. I hope they're equally matched. I just want to believe that.
It's very specific.
2 million. I'm gonna say different than 70,000.
Yes. A drag queen is different than
35.
A transgender.
Yeah, transgendered is actually like a physical thing, whereas
this. And whereas drag queen, if I understand, being
like, you could talk someone into becoming a drag queen, and like
you can argue it's just a matter drag
of
queen.
It's just a matter of cross dressing.
Do I perform as a lady often for whatever
purpose? But is drag queen different? Because Keith, we dress up as women often, but we're not drag queens.
Yeah, it's just cross dressing.
A drag queen is like a diva. A drag queen is attitude and a posse.
I'm going to say, I want to get into this as much as you do, but I'm going to say 2 million.
1.2 million.
Yeah,
no I'll one's go going higher than 4 million.
49,000. 6.9 million. Drag queens
out of
350,000 people.
I feel like it's not
$1. All right, what do we got, Chris?
Okay, the answer is there is no definite way to get a number for this because not everyone will admit it, and there's no.
It's a trick question.
you have a number, right?
trick question. Everyone's a liar.
I couldn't find the answer, but I just wanted to see what you guys all thought. The number of drag queens.
I have like question blue balls.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many variations, like drag queens.
You know what? I don't know how you would count that.
Oh, you know what? It says that the difference is a drag queen is a man who dresses and usually acts like a caricature woman. Often for the purpose of entertaining.
That's
so,
me.
Yes,
that's for sure me.
That's you.
100% Keith.
That's Keith.
I love that. I love it. I think it's so funny.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well,
it is so funny to dress up as a convincing woman and then pretend to be one. Terribly. Just be a poor representation.
A very poor representation.
It's been funny since
I don't know why it's funny, but it gets me.
I think you're hilarious. So
you know, it's
one of my favorites.
What's a weird crossover between these two worlds? In my experience, a lot of gamers were very homophobic.
Really?
Yeah. And as they got older, but like, okay. And I think this is my theory on it, because as an adult, almost very few of them still are. But when I was younger, I think it's because a lot of them got called gay by their classmates. So that, like, this was their time to then turn around and take that out, you know? So, like, I remember playing and people were like, you're gay. Wow, it was just such a common...
But I don't think that's because they hate gay. I think it's because you get used to hearing it as an insult.
Yeah. It's just because you're what Bob and Mark's saying.
Like, yeah,
and
I don't...
And we thought it was them being...
But they would also do it because, you know, you're like there late and they'd be like, ew, get away from me, I'm not gay. You know, it would just come out. It was very interestingly used more often than other places.
I have experienced that, I guess.
Yeah.
Because on the internet,
well, I know. are not homophobic though.
Boy,
but yeah, it's just stuff that gets released through gamers.
Yeah, and people want it. I mean, the only way to get attention on the internet, you can be completely anonymous, and if you have bad behavior, you get a response out of people. You get what you want.
Yeah,
so, mm-hmm. like, people go on the internet and they say this shit. They're just doing it because that's what happens on the internet.
Yeah. Mm. People like
if everybody's name was attached to it, it'd be different.
Yes, there are, and I also found that there are indeed drag kings. We were talking about that earlier. If if there were if females who did
just
male,
like men
who did male, honestly didn't think that was the case, but I am wrong.
I'm gonna be a lumberjack and dance.
So you would be a lumberjack. You're the birthday girl. Lumberjack and chop down trees.
So
proving that's the man act.
They basically perform as a male caricature then? Like an overblown male.
It looks like it's in a suit. I see a picture right here, and it's a bunch of chick dudes in suits.
Chick dudes.
I don't know about you, but I sure do like this dick of mine. How about you, Gerald Pants Man?
You're absolutely right. It is stereotypes. It's also stereotypes.
You want to sing that like popular guy song, "Girls" by the Beastie Boys?
They do macho songs. They're like macho rappers.
Macho Man.
Popular ones are Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson. Although that's not very masculine. No. Tim McGraw. Okay.
Tim McGraw. Nice.
Those are the three top three. It's Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, Tim McGraw.
Same echelon.
Yeah, sure.
Put them all up there.
So they're just female Elvis impersonators.
Yeah, I guess. I that's what it looks like.
And Tim McGraw.
It's funny because like when I was a little kid, I would just watch that. And I'd be like, "How can you do that? How can you go about like?" Because I couldn't imagine anyone in my life, like in my family or something, just being a drag queen and then just going back to regular life and everything's like just the same. But here I am, years later, dressing in women's clothes and dancing around in front of people, and it's like, oh yeah, and then I just go to work, and then like, you know.
Do you need to talk to
my parents?
My mom, when I was a kid, always just would love it when there were drag queens on television or anything like that. My mom thinks that's hilarious. I remember my mother turning to me multiple times as a child. She would say to me, "Some of those guys are better ladies than the ladies I know." You know, just like, and she would just love that. And she would just be like, "That is a lady," you know, or something like that. My mom just gets such a big kick out of it.
And like, I realized, because it's funny for the people who like are in with us, they'll see the pictures from the shows and they'll get it. But remember, I got into like an argument on Facebook. I was arguing with someone about politics. It was like my right-wing friend. We were arguing, and all his friends were like commenting and stuff too. And it wasn't until like really deep into the conversation, like 20 like comments deep into the conversation, I'm like, I'm wearing a skirt in this picture. I'm like arguing with them, and like the whole time it's like me in like a tutu, and like that's my picture. And you forget that this is what we do for our second lives, and then that just goes out there in the rest.
It's funny. It's funny for men to be in women's garb. Or cross-dressing is funny in general.
Some dudes use it as like an outlet for like whatever kind of expression of like, this is my like relaxation time, you know.
Yeah, this is how I kick back.
When I dress up as a lady, I'm really trying to hint to you guys how gay I am.
I also say,
when are you guys gonna get it?
I think you need a new drag queen name though, because I'm looking up drag queen names right now, and they're all very Rollerball-esque, if you know what that's like.
Yeah,
like
very punny.
Misunderstood is one.
Yeah.
Ooh, Peaches Christ is a pretty good one.
Peaches Christ!
Chi-Chi LaRue.
Mine is Princess Girl.
I like Princess Girl a lot.
Princess Girl.
In fact, I said Princess Girl today, and I got a great response from people I shared it with. They thought it was hilarious.
Princess Girl refers to the series of pictures of me. If you're my friend on Facebook, you can go see where I am a girl. It's for our Dungeons & Dragons show. You can see me as Princess Girl on OctaVarius.com.
Under live shows.
Oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, if anyone's listening to this and you're on Twitter right now, you should follow our Twitter because I'm tweeting stuff at you.
Kaboom.
And I tweeted to a drag queen with a lot of Twitter followers.
Nice.
Just asking her what's the difference between a crossdresser and a drag queen. So I hope she has a sassy Twitter answer for me.
Have you guys seen like a really epic drag queen lip syncing performance?
I saw Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, live on Broadway on opening night by pure accident.
That's right.
What?
Yeah, that's right. You did.
We were just performing when I was in Mission to Bravo. We were performing in New Jersey. It was very close. We could take a train to New York City, and we looked to see what shows were playing. Not many were, but then we found out that there were tickets to Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. We're like, that's funny. We just have four dudes go see that together.
I'm not familiar with that play.
It's a great movie. It's a movie.
Oh, it's a movie.
It's like a Rocky Horror kind of deal where everyone goes all out and dresses in the costume.
Dude from Lord of the Rings.
But it just happened that it was opening night on Broadway. So we had tickets to opening night because, of course, it wasn't sold out. It was a bizarre play for Broadway.
Hugo Weaving. That's what you're saying.
But we were there and all the people in the show, like all the celebrities in the movies were there. That was so funny. Mm-hmm. I knew who none of them were. But everybody seemed to be making a big to-do. We were not dressed as fancy as everybody else.
I've been to, there's that Kit Kat Lounge. I don't prefer drag queen performance. I don't get it as much. I was at the Kit Kat Lounge.
Don't like what I do?
I don't, well, it's just, I find it offensive.
I can see that. If you believe in women's rights, I'm pretty good.
You're not as big a caricature as I'd like you to be.
Yeah.
The most common is like, there'll be like a Whitney Houston drag, there's like always like a Cher one, and a Whitney Houston one, and I don't care for that music. And so the Kit Kat Lounge is famous. It's like,
why not?
I just don't like it. I don't have to like it.
I'm with you. I'm not huge on either of those.
You don't like Cher?
I don't like Cher.
But it all fits.
I don't have anything against her. I just don't like
her. A lot of it fits into that same genre of music, though, and it's a pretty specific genre. Yeah. And if you're really not into that genre,
sing some Lady Gaga, man.
I do like some Lady Gaga. Is good. I saw
this drag queen do an MIA song, and it was awesome. And they're like all in silver and like craziness. It was MIA.
Wow,
that's fun.
So you can modern it up.
Well, there was the one in the Beyonce video.
Oh yeah.
One of her backup dancers was
her backup dancer was a dude, and it's like you didn't know until someone was like,
"Wait, in which video?
All the single ladies."
One of the backup dancers?
It's her two, and the one that's more in the shadows, that's like, is that her instructor? Who was?
It's like it was her instructor.
Or like her trainer or something like that, and he's behind her, and you don't even know that's a man until someone tells you. And then you watch, and you're like, oh, of course, you can tell it's a little more masculine than the others, but like, blends right the fuck in.
Wow.
Yeah, they're like transgender. And then so like on SNL, I think they parodied it.
That's why they did it with...
That's why I didn't get that joke.
I just thought it was funny because it's always funny to see a guy.
It was funny because it's always funny to see a guy as a girl.
He's in the I'm watching it right now. Wow, they're good for this guy. Yeah. It's this guy.
Yeah.
On the left. Oh yeah, they got a little more booty.
A little more booty.
That's like a hot dude.
Oh wow,
yeah, that dude's so hot it almost looks like a girl.
That's pretty nuts.
He's good dancing. Good dancing.
Good dancing.
Well, that's why, as men, as straight heterosexual men, it's drag queens are dangerous because they're trying to trick us into being gay.
It's a trap!
Yeah. It's just like, oh my god. And then all of a sudden, I'm gay.
That's always the joke in that movie, The Birdcage, is that the drag queens are tricking us into being gay. and even in the end, spoiler alert, Gene Hackman has to dress in drag. And while he's in drag, he gets hit.
I just pictured someone listening in the podcast and being like, oh, great! Now I can't watch that movie.
The Belmont style app is often frequented with drag queens.
That's true. And they're
right by comedy sports.
Well, Berlin.
Many times outside of Berlin.
Right. I don't know if they're drag queens per se or just trannies.
Mostly trannies.
You just walk up Halstead, man. You see some. I see people in drag all the time.
Oh, there's. I don't have a problem with it. I just don't like being solicited for sex while I'm trying to go.
Oh yeah, I'm not into that.
Oh, that's
at Berlin. Not
oh yeah, for sure.
So don't walk on that side of the street while you make your way to Octavarius' Sunday night show.
929 West Belmont, not the other side, in sunny Chicago, Illinois.
We will send you over to the other side for Cheesies, however, after the show.
I haven't been. Is there? Do you think there's a lot of trannies or drag queens at Cheesies now? That's right next to Berlin.
Well, there are trannies everywhere around there. They're not going to do anything.
That's the thing. You're never more than 6 feet away from a tranny.
I think it's true if we're classifying Keith.
Yeah. Well, you're always just a stone's throw away. Right?
Yeah, are we classifying Keith?
I was asking if we were, then it's right.
We are friends with Cheesies, and they are friends of Octavarius.
And we're
friends
with trannies.
That place is awesome. Now,
oh, it is great.
It's, it's the brilliant idea. It's every drink is $4.
Always.
Single drink. They've got tons of beers on tap. Great. Any alcohol drink, any beer, $4.
You know what I say to that? Do you remember Take 5 that was on Southport?
I remember Take 5.
And then everything was $5.
Until everything was $5.95.
And then everyone was like, fuck this shit. That's what I'm worried about.
Well, right now they got that, and they've got top-notch grilled cheese, so they're doing... They've expanded. So
what
doing
should
great.
I get when I go to Cheesies?
They have
cheese, American cheese.
Oh, they have a new sandwich, too. The tenderizer is a kick-ass grilled cheese sandwich that actually has, like, chicken tenders in the sandwich.
Wow, chicken tenders and bacon.
And bacon.
And barbecue sauce.
Yeah, and mozzarella or something.
If you go,
like
if you went there on your own, you might think, that's a little pricey. But if you go there after an Octavarius show, you get $1 off. Suddenly, you aren't paying that premium price for that premium sandwich.
Just tell them Octavarius said
you. Drink a $4 green line while you wait for your sandwich, because it's there and it's fucking $4.
I have yet to be go there.
It's really nice. Yeah.
I know, I just don't have an excuse. I always eat before I go to the show, is the thing.
Maybe we'll all go.
They have pizza, too. Their best grilled cheese sandwiches they make into pizzas.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to ask for a melt pizza and a heartbeat.
I think I'm starting to get a little too scared to go by myself. I don't know.
Just tell the trannies you're not interested in sex. You're interested in grilled cheese.
Well, do you know some of the trannies that are on by Comedy Sports are dangerous that are over there?
How dangerous?
What?
Like, they mug people. I heard a story of a comedian, Jamie Campbell, a friend of ours, is 100 Proof, which is a stand-up night on Mondays, right now, I guess. And
Before this.
What?
Before you listen to your, I think it's before this, isn't it? Like
yeah, 100 Proof is, yes. Mm-hmm. A comedian was doing his performance and then got out, and left and went to go to his car, was solicited by a tranny prostitute. And he said no, and then like her and another one beat him up, and like stole his car. I think is what the deal was. And I was
holy
like,
shit.
What? I couldn't believe why they're so violent. But
no, first of all, how many times have you guys gotten solicited for sex by trannies? I have never.
Never.
Only pretty dudes, dude.
I've never gotten solicited
twice in like a month and a half.
What?
You just gotta be paying attention. They'll be like, yeah, saying that just wait while you're walking down. I have headphones on.
Well, I have headphones on.
Scott, what do they say? Like, what's their solicitation?
Hey, it's like, just
hey,
man.
Just catcalling.
Suck your dick for some money.
Suck your dick.
Ew.
What you doing there? Hey, babe boy.
I always think they're just kidding.
No, those are prostitutes. Those are male prostitutes.
Are you serious? I always think of them just being creepy gay.
So did I, yeah.
You know?
They are. No,
I guess maybe that's
yeah,
the way to...
Yeah, you're incorrect.
That's the way for them to not shout their services to the world is, yeah, that's a good day.
Hey, you want to come over and play some Dungeons & Dragons?
Yeah, I mean, we have seen from Comedy Sports when I used to work there, we would see, like, dudes picking up, like, these tranny prostitutes. And then someone like Nick Houseman, like, screaming, like, that's a dude!
Vintage Houseman for you.
That's hilarious.
Sometimes you can't tell.
Sometimes it doesn't matter, though. Sometimes that's what they want. They want to, people want to bang. Some people, well, some people want to have sex with a tranny.
That's how they trick you into being.
And sometimes they trick you, though.
some people who consider themselves totally straight, too. People would be like, it was something on MTV or something where they had, like, it, like, really looked like a woman, but it's a man. And, like, he's, like, porn star or whatever. And, like, guys would come up and be like, hey, totally straight, wife and kids, love you. Jerk off to you every night. You're the best. Can we get a picture together? And they do. And, like, that's, like, a thing.
Remember that story of the she-woman or she-man thing that, did the Miss America or Miss Canada or got like I forget what it was.
It rings a bell. Now
they got and she got like she halfway
got taken away from her.
Yeah, and they got taken away from her because they found out she was a man.
She got about halfway through before Houseman walked by. And she's a dude.
She tricked me.
Whatever, she bested them all. She won the competition.
Is that right? I think they gave it back.
She does, yeah. I think she did win it. I remember showing all my coworkers and be like, hey, check out this chick. And they're like, oh, yeah, I'm like, it's a dude. And they're like, it's still hot.
They should have known when she won the talent competition by having a dick.
I think it's Canada. Miss Canada.
Miss Canada?
Oh, yeah. It's also your talent.
Whoa. Yeah. He's like a hot dude.
He's like a hot ass dude. Look at them titties.
Like,
that aren't
oh
real.
My gosh.
Let me see them titties.
Yeah, let's see.
She's point like is away. Super oh, boy.
She's gorgeous.
She's totes gorgeous.
That's a good
that's
look.
A man.
That's a good looking dude.
That's a good looking dude.
Wait, what is that? Was she Miss Canada?
She was Miss Canada, and then they found out she was a man. They took it away from her.
No.
Like, and how then, could she wear bikinis?
You're not a woman.
She no. She does it. Well, she's post-op, I think. So okay. She had surgery to become a woman.
Technically, she's a woman.
But I mean, I don't know how Canada Gotta feels about transgenders. Maybe they don't see it that way. I mean, I couldn't tell you the first thing about Canada.
Yeah, that's kind of...
I think it's North.
I don't know.
It's always been tricky. Tricky picking which, you know, things happen and there's like rules that they set up and then it's hard sometimes. People's definitions are different.
It's totally alt for something like that. It's just 100% about sponsors. Because like some sponsors are like, we'll know, there'll be an outcry.
And there's also that female golfer that they accused of being a man.
Oh yeah, that's right. I mean, really, they got her out of the tournament, but really, I think she was just making bad press because she
Princess
was really bad
golf,
at golf.
Yeah.
I'm seeing pictures of Miss Canada when he was a boy.
Yeah, it's a shame that
the golf thing. Yeah,
it's a shame about that golfer. Though,
what the hell could she have done?
Well, I don't know. She could have gotten better at golf, but how would anyone do that? I mean, how do you know which tips to trust?
Well, what if you were to try
Cloud's golf tips?
God, she's hot.
Whether you're a lady or a man. Put a little extra sparkle in your blush. Maybe wear a short little miniskirt. Head on out to that golf course and distract your opponent by sweeping off a little grass from your shoe. As they say, if you got it, flaunt it.
And this has been Cloud's Golf Tips.
Home run.
Surf's up.
That worked pretty well, though. I feel like I would take that tip before many others.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could maybe distract D-Wo with my sexiness if we went golfing together.
I'd just go with that tiger one. That seemed pretty effective.
The bird one was really good.
Still trying that to locate beeping. The alarm. There it goes.
That beeping can only mean one thing.
It means that we have some very special birthdays to announce.
That was the birthday alarm?
It's the birthday. Is it June 23rd?
This is going to drop on Friday, June 22nd. So, that being said, happy birthday, Carson Daly, American television personality. Happy birthday, Aaron Brockovich, American environmentalist, and subject of a couple of films that were probably all right.
Happy
one.
Birthday, Chris
there were two.
Warner.
Or no, you're right.
There
I'm
was
thinking,
not
no,
a
you're
sequel.
Right. My brain was thinking of Bridget Jones, which is very different.
I assumed you were talking about Legally Blonde. It's pretty much the same.
Happy birthday, Kurt Warner, Super Bowl winner.
Did you say Bruce Campbell yet?
I did not.
Happy birthday, Bruce Campbell, actor.
Happy birthday, Cyndi Lauper, American singer.
Happy birthday, Roger Ebert.
Happy birthday, John Dillinger.
Happy birthday, Champ Bailey. It looks like a football player from the Denver Broncos.
I know Champ Bailey. He's a great cornerback.
One of the best.
Happy birthday, Clyde Drexler, American basketball player.
Clyde the Glide.
Happy birthday, Donald Faison from the television.
Faison.
From Scrubs.
And Clueless.
Yeah. Brace Turk.
Happy birthday, Uwe Boll, German film director of some of the
worst movies
ever made.
Uwe Boll.
There's more. I just know more of these people.
Yes, there are more.
I'm interested in happiness now that it's the end of the podcast. I'm feeling kind of glum. Why else should I feel sad?
Well, with every birth must come a death, as is the law of the universe. And that means to the friends, family, and fans of Fred Astaire, I'm sorry for your loss.
And for those who were survived by George Carlin.
Oh, that one's actually sad still. Yeah. Well, we ended this on a nice optimistic note, at least.
Hey, it's my birthday now.
Hey, you're not on the wiki, though.
No, well,
can I add you?
On Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was curious as to why you transitioned out of birthdays into deaths before you mentioned Keith.
Because Keith makes everything better.
Yeah. Keith makes everything better.
Keith has +3 resurrection.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, happy birthday, Keith. Habersberger.
American actor.
Current pun crown holder.
He is still at the pun crown.
It is a Game of Thrones.
That's also a wink, everybody.
We don't really have a throne.
All right, everybody. Before we go, let me remind you all again that we are back in our run of Sunday shows every single Sunday night at 7 p.m. at Comedy Sports, 929 West Belmont in sunny Chicago, Illinois. This week is Dungeons and Drag Queens.
Ooh, in honor of Gay Pride weekend, which is also this weekend.
We will have an actual drag queen there.
We will. Yes, we're going to actually have I don't know his name.
Brody.
The drag queen.
Well, name.
Bowie Marie is going to be there performing, as well as some of us, I believe, will be doing it. And this is going to be right after the parade on Sunday.
Yes, that is correct. A great way to end your gay Sunday.
Yeah, so you just if you're going to the gay pride parade, we're right by it on Belmont Clark's.
Hey, very important, don't use up all the gay at the parade.
We're going to need some.
Please save some for us.
Bring some of your gay right on down.
And you'll get $3 off your ticket.
Yeah, come on, guys.
If you bring a die with more than 6 sides, or you dress as the gender you aren't,
you get into $7. Are gay.
You have to prove that you're gay.
Show us your card.
Add the ticket.
You gotta prove it.
It will be a gay man at the box office who will judge you.
On that ever so slightly unsettling note, we've got to let you go, but I'm looking at my watch right now. It looks like we've got just enough time for Nick McCullough's 7 Words of Wisdom.
Two dragons in a bowl of lava.
This has been Nick McCullough's 7 Words of Wisdom.
Two dragons in a bowl of lava.
One of those dragons clawed his way out by churning the lava into cream.
I
forgot Nick McCullough was here for a long period of time, as he had nothing to talk about during the drag queen portion or the Dungeons and Dragons portion.
He did have talking about the time that he was Fetus the Fat.
That's right.
Maybe he'll make an appearance in the show.
Maybe.
Hint.
McCullough, if you want the bell to ring, you have to be not touching the bell at the same time.
You can't. There
it's
you
very
go.
Deep. You must touch the bell and not touch the bell.
I've been thinking about that.
With that, we are going to let you guys go. But we will see you all Sunday at the show. And until next time, have 8 days in a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Bye. For your death and for your heart.
Go run for your life. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door.
He's coming back for more.